Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Praise the Lord. Is that true this morning? How many of you want the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord in your life? Glory. You may be seated. You know, I felt like all week, I felt like that we needed to hear from some of our moms today. So I'm going to move around here, and I've actually written down a few questions. And I'm going to get some of our moms to talk. Is that all right? Now, don't be scared. It won't hurt. It won't be painful. Let's start over here. We'll just try to take one or so from each section here. Anita, you're not scared, are you? All right, let me ask you a question. Stand up. Turn toward the camera so those that are watching, the millions of people that are watching around the world. There we go. First of all, tell us your name.
Anita Kidd.
How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three children. Are they boys or girls?
I have a daughter, the eldest, and two sons.
A daughter and two sons. Okay, so she should be an authority on all things, correct? Okay. What is your favorite thing about being a mother?
The favorite thing is trying to get my kids to laugh at some of the things that are, you know, hard. They enjoyed, like, sometimes there's tough places and we kind of make it a little lighter and laugh at things that maybe other people would think were stupid.
All right. No, that's cool. Anything else?
It's tough being a mom. You want to bring them up right and teach them right. It's more important. I can talk to you and we can debate on things, but we need to be able to tell our children the truth.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. See, that wasn't too painful, was it? I mean, you'll get over it about 2 o'clock this afternoon. It'll be fine. Let's see here. Those of you that sit underneath the balcony, you miss out, see, because he can't turn around past the thing there. So if you're sitting up front up here, let's see. Well, here's another mom. Would you want to stand up, please? Can I scoot in around you just a little bit? I won't knock your coffee over, I promise, at least on purpose. Tell us your name and how many kids you have.
Terry Meadows, and I have four children. One boy and three girls. And they're a blessing.
You should be an expert. All right. You have to think about this a little bit. But describe your best day as a mother.
Having them all there, which is about every day. And we live off the road, so when they leave, all the grandkids put the windows down and tell me that they love me and wave all the way down the driveway. So
when they're leaving, that's your best.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Because I know I'm going to hit the couch after that.
Thank you very much. Bless you. Yes. All right, let's see. Do we have a mom? Uh-oh, here, Nancy, come on. Stand up here. Let's turn around. We'll just kind of work right over the top of him. Turn around toward the camera for the millions of people around the world that are watching. Tell us your name and how many kids you have.
Nancy Lutchkin, and I have five.
Boys, girls?
Two girls and three boys.
Two girls and three boys. You were doing fine there to begin with, and then you got these boys. For those of you who don't know, they brought these boys. They handpicked them and brought them into their family and are blessed in their young years to be raising these fine young gentlemen. Amen? All right, here's the All right. This question is really good for you. Are you ready?
I don't know.
Which one's your favorite? No, I just threw that one in for fun. Okay, what is the worst? Uh-oh. Can't read my own writing. I was making fun of one of the guys because he tripped out there in the parking lot because of his bifocals. That's the reason. What is the most important thing every mother should know?
Oh, my.
Nobody's going to tell you it's wrong.
So I don't know. Every mother should know that it is hard. Life is hard when you're raising children.
It's hard, period.
It is very hard, and it's very hard today. The older you get, the harder it gets, because this world is getting meaner all the time. But you just have to raise them up in the Lord and trust that they'll go the way you lead them.
Amen. That life is hard. That's a pretty good one.
It is hard.
It is hard. Amen. Thank you very much. Bless you. All right, we're going to have one more over here. Becky, I don't want to give you a heart attack, but I do want your wisdom. Would you mind standing up and we'll... Oh, wow. Since we know her daughter. All right, we'll do this one. All right. How many kids do you have?
Two. I had two. Lost my son.
The son and the daughter.
Daughter.
How does your faith in Christ help you as a mother?
Well, when we lost our son, I wouldn't have made it without God's help. It's the hardest thing I ever went through. But I thank God every day for giving me Kay.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Kate. Thank you. Let's give these moms a hand, could we? Go ahead.
We're going to continue worship here, so feel free to stand and worship with us.
Behold him, Jesus.
morning, I want us to, as we pray, lift up those who have lost their mother. I know in these days of celebration, it makes it especially difficult for those who have lost a loved one. I wonder how many of you, just so that we have kind of a picture here this morning, how many of you have lost your mother? Oh my goodness, look around. Yes. And it's no wonder that the Lord laid this specifically on my heart. Would you help me this morning? And let's pray for these who throughout this day, there will be more shadows than clouds as they walk through, celebrating, maybe celebrating as a mother, but also celebrating and remembering the loss of their moms. Come on, help me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. You're not the God of the dead. You're the God of the living. That's what Jesus said. So though these are out of sight, out of arm's reach, they're not forgotten by you. This morning we thank you for Mom. And pray, dear Lord, that your comfort, your Holy Spirit-driven imagination would just flow in the lives of your children as they're remembering their moms that have gone on from this earth. I say, Lord, imagination, because help us to reckon with what heaven is like. Being in your presence, no more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death. May your comfort, the power of your comfort, surround each one of these folks that lifted their hands. You know their particular circumstance. You know their day. A rainy, cloudy day like this doesn't help some of these things, but you can. And I just pray that you would be a comforter and a strength to each one of these folks, as only you can. Minister in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Before you're seated this morning, I do want to give you an opportunity to give to the Lord. We have plates up here. And as you do, you know, give somebody a nod. You know, don't just look at the floor, but, you know, kind of give them a nod and let them know that you're acknowledging that they're worshiping with you this morning. Amen. Sing that chorus through one more time.
Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, Lamb of God.
Thank you, folks. See you in a few minutes. I do want to mention to you, next Sunday we will be honoring our graduates, our high school and college graduates, and I hope that you'll plan to be with us and give them a hoorah. They've finished a course. Also, I'd like to invite you to come to church on Wednesday night. I know. See, when we have a year of getting out of the habit of something, it may be kind of hard to get back in the habit. And I realize that after a day's work that you may be totally exhausted,
But I believe that if you come and spend an hour with us, we try to do a lot of interaction on Wednesday night, time for people to share and things, so keep everybody awake. But just from 7 to 8 o'clock, it's a good time in the middle of your week to get a lift. Amen? And I know that it people don't come to church on Wednesday night by accident. People come on purpose. And so I pray that you will be purposeful in making this time available to God. I will mention that on the third Wednesday, which would be a week from this Wednesday, we're hoping to begin our boys and girls ministry. We still need some folks to step up. Our girls ministry is coming together and they're getting all prepared. And I'm praying that some guys, maybe some guys over in this section even, might stand up and say, yes, I'll minister to boys. So please let us know if you're willing to do that. And maybe some guys in this section would be willing to help in our boys' ministry. It's important.
Amen. Amen.
I know you're afraid to say that because then you might be obligated to come. I said it is important. Do you realize that there are people sitting right here in the church this morning who came to this church because of our children's ministries? Yeah. So these are very important, not just to our children's ministry, but also to what is happening here in the sanctuary. So please, step up. Great opportunity for you to serve the Lord. Amen? Oh boy, some of those are weak. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about traits of a believing mom. And I also want to get you out here in plenty of time to beat the Baptist to the restaurant. So we've got to get busy. I want to begin with a gal by the name of Christine Carter has a blog, I guess you call it, or a website called Mom's Cafe. And she wrote down 10 character traits of a woman of faith. Let me share those with you. I won't elaborate on them. I'm just going to share them with you. She holds incredible strength, is number one. She shines magnifying love. She embraces the good. She understands grace. She walks in humility. She believes all people equal and worthy of love. She has passion. She's a true friend. She is daringly honest. And she is relentlessly faithful. I'll let you judge, ladies, as to whether that's a true statement. 10 character traits of a woman of faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 is my text this morning. Paul says to Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the privilege of speaking into these moms' lives. I pray, Lord, that you would go way beyond my capability, and that your Spirit would speak into each and every mom's life. May they know, Lord, how much we love them, how important that they are to us individually and also to us as a church family. May your power be in this place, in Jesus' name. Sherry Portage of Michigan tells the story of her three young children. She says, my three young children love to get up early and watch the garbage truck. It's the simple things. Buy them thousands of dollars worth of toys and they want to watch the garbage truck. They love watching the waste hauler empty the can and work the lever that causes the truck to compact trash. On the morning I turned 35, my husband said to the children with a smile, kids, do you know what makes today so special? Our five-year-old rushed past my outstretched arms to the window and yelled, "It's garbage day." Yeah, I have to say, we're sorry, Mom, that we don't always recognize your worth. Glad for a day, at least, where we can pause and say how much we care about you and how much you're loved. Amen? Amen. Guys, don't you love them? Amen. Well, guys, would you want to do all the stuff that they do? Remember the video at the beginning. Today, I would like to describe for you biblical traits of a woman of faith or of a believing mother. And in doing that, we're going to just catch snapshots. I'm going to rely on the fact that you are all Bible scholars, okay? Because I'm not going to tell the stories of each one of these women. I'm just going to give you a little snippet or a little piece of each one of them. But I believe that believing mothers are mothers of promise. I'll say that again. I believe that believing mothers are mothers of promise. Amen. See, I happen to believe that God's still speaking. Amen. And I believe that He is speaking into the lives of moms and giving them promises for their children, for their grandchildren, and many times even for their husbands. I try my best to listen to Sharon. She has many words. That's who she is. That's who I married 49 years ago. She has many words. But I have to be very careful about shutting some of them out, because I realize that she is a believing mother, and God gives promises to believing mothers. Amen. This lady I want to tell you about, her name is unknown. In Judges chapter 13, verse number 2, it says, "A man of Zoar named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless." But in verse number 3, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, 'You are sterile and childless, but you're going to conceive and give birth to a son.'" I think it's interesting the way that this is written in the Word to actually bring repetition in just two verses, in a single statement, if you will, to her childlessness and her barrenness. And yet God gave her a promise. But the Lord made a promise. You see, this is the way our God works. Believing mothers, if they are tuned in to the Lord, can, beyond understanding, receive promises from the Lord. Okay. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 to 15, here's a promise that the Lord made. The angel of the Lord said, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And they asked him, "They're in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abram, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I have a child now that I am old?'" In verse number 14, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." I wanted to bring that one in there because, moms, I realize that there are times that God places a promise in your heart or before you that's just beyond belief. You may even say to God, wow, that, woo. I can't see, Lord, how that could ever happen. And yet, it's put in a nest in your heart because you realize that the Lord is able to do even the impossible. Amen. Believing moms, our mothers of promise. And can I tell you this, something this morning? The Lord keeps his promises to believing mothers. Amen. Sarah, Genesis 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he promised. Samson's mother, Judges 13:24, the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. Barren, childless, but the Lord made a promise. Moms of faith, let me tell you, if you will listen to God, maybe nobody will believe what you tell them. So it may be between you and the Lord. How many moms know what I'm talking about? Where the Lord puts it in your heart, and you may even try to tell your husband, you may try to tell your kids what the Lord is promising, and it just doesn't seem to fit. They scratch their heads. They say, well, oh, okay, honey, okay, mom, whatever. But down in your heart, you know that God has spoken in your life. How many of you can witness to that? Now, this is important. Hold them up there. Hold them up high. Those of you moms that are wondering about this, look around. Let them testify to you. And may it be amen in your life that the Lord would entrust to you promises. Believing mothers are mothers of promise. Here's the second one you'll be able to embrace, I'm sure. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we have the story of Hannah. Verse number 10, it says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Believing mothers pray when there doesn't seem to be any hope. Again, Hannah was childless. Her husband's other wife was turning out kids like hamburgers. And she was cruel to Hannah because of it. I'm sure she was telling her of her worthlessness, telling her that her life did not have value. It's interesting that Hannah's husband said to her, am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? And yet there was a longing down in her heart. And instead of just walking around with the hurt, with the pain, because she believed in God, she took it to God. And she began to pray about it. Eli heard her, thought she was drunk because she was praying and her lips weren't moving. You know why? I kind of go between the lines as to wondering why she wasn't praying out loud. I believe it was because she didn't want the taunts of her husband's other wife or of anyone else. So she was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving. She confessed it to Eli. She was discouraged from praying, but she kept on praying. Oh, I hope you can hear this morning. Believing moms, they keep on praying, even when obstacles rise up, even when things don't look the best, even when there's a negative report. Believing moms still put their hope and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of that song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. You know, when things in life don't make sense, when the problems are so great and there's no way to fix them, to be a believing mom who will find the place, maybe out of the eyesight, because it's not about everybody seeing you pray. It's not about everybody hearing you pray. It's about you praying, even when it looks impossible, that you find yourself, if you will, a closet, and you enter in with the one that you trust. His name is Jesus. Our text this morning there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I ask the question, how could Paul be persuaded that Timothy was a man of faith? Because his grandmother was a woman of faith, and his mother was a woman of faith. And so here's what Paul knew. Paul knew he had two women who were praying earnestly for Timothy. And can I tell you, it makes a difference. I am third generation believer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I stand in this pulpit this morning because my grandmother, Bessie, and my other grandmother, Clara, and my 92-year-old mom, as of this week, pray. You see, I know each morning as the sun is rising that there's a little lady who's on her face. It's what believing moms do. It's not about, do I have the time? My mom, the whole time that I was growing up, she was an executive secretary of some difficult men and worked incredible hours, incredible pressure. Always rising early enough to pray over her family. Every difficulty, every struggle, our whole extended family knew when there's a problem, call Margaret. Not because Margaret could solve problems, but because Margaret prayed. Moms of faith are moms of prayer. Amen. Don't let the enemy rob you of this, because you can have a relationship, mom, in prayer with the Father and with his Son like no other. If you will push in. You say, well, it seems like such repetition because I'm bringing the same needs. Yes, you're bringing the same needs, the same people, because you trust that there's only one. One name, one powerful name, one person in the whole of all the world in the universe that can meet the needs of your family. That's Jesus. Can I tell you this morning that believing mothers are powerful? Mothers of promise, mothers of prayer, mothers that are powerful. I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. In John chapter 2, it says, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. His mother can I interject, did not argue with him. But she said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. I know. Come on. Moms, with the unctioning of the Holy Spirit behind you, you are powerful. Mary moved the Son of God. So what does that have to do with me that they have no wine? She just simply said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And he told them to go fill the water jugs with water and then take it to the head of the feast, and it had changed into wine. The first miracle of the Son of God on this earth was because of a powerful mom. Moms, you have influence. I know there's days you don't feel like it. There are days you feel like you don't have any leverage over that man that you married or those children that you birthed. But you have power. It says, this is the first miraculous sign that Jesus performed at Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Two incredible things happened because a mother of faith took a stand, a powerful stand. His glory was revealed, and his disciples put their faith in him. In John chapter 4, there's another powerful woman. Verse number 28, leaving her water jug, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. It speaks to the influence that a woman of faith, even a brand new woman of faith, she just caught hold of the message of Jesus, and already her testimony was powerful. Now, just imagine you going into the town here. How many folks do you think you could round up? She brought the town. And they came out to hear and to receive Jesus. I got a feeling that woman, when she hit the town, she didn't care who heard. She wasn't adjusting to her personality or her past. They would have known her past. But she came to know Jesus and the power that was in the Lord Jesus and the glory that was in the Lord Jesus, and she wanted other people to have that as well. Look out for a believing mom who really believes that Jesus is the answer. Because she'll tell you just the way it is. Come to Jesus. You need to know Jesus. I know both Sharon's mom and my mom have been very deliberate in speaking into the lives of my children. And both of them have said, well, I believe it true. Don't be afraid, Mom. Go get the town. Bring them to Jesus. Man, it's quiet in here this morning. I hope it's not because you don't believe what I'm saying. How many believe what I'm saying is true? That believing moms have an effect. They're women of promise. God speaks to them and tells them things. They're women of prayer that can move mountains. They're women of power who can turn a town inside out for the power of the Lord Jesus. You know, there's another piece here. Lydia. Remember Lydia from the book of Acts? chapter 16. A dealer of purple cloth from Thyatira is about all we know about her, but she's a believer. When the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home and said this, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Total stranger. She wanted Paul and those that were with him to come to her home. And as she believed in the Lord Jesus, she persuaded them. Moms, let me tell you something. The Lord gives you the power of persuasion over your family and over the lost and over others. You can trust it. I think of the great preacher Apollos, actually considered to be a greater preacher than the Apostle Paul. They wanted to listen to him more than they wanted to listen to Paul. Paul was a man of the facts. It seems that Apollos was a great speaker. So people liked to hear and they flocked to hear Apollos. But you see, when he came to Ephesus, he wasn't quite all the way into the faith. Many believe that it was because he had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus, but he had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 18, verse 26 says, "When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately." Oh, I love that. They weren't afraid of his position. They weren't afraid of the fact that he was the great speaker, Apollos. They wanted to bring him in and let him know that there was more from God. You see, believing mothers have power of persuasion. Powerful. Okay, I end this here. Believing mothers are mother of promise. Believing mothers are mother of prayer. Believing mothers are powerful. If you don't believe me, ask my mother. Rosemary Smith of Beatville, Kentucky, lost two sons in a car wreck. Darkness, like nothing she had ever known, settled over Rosemary. Yet she found solace in her faith. Not long after her loss, Rosemary began a ministry called Fellow Travelers, a ministry to other parents who have lost a child. Quote, "I now have a higher purpose than what I was doing, and the death of my sons took me there. Every day, Rosemary reads the newspaper and searches the internet for child obituaries. She either calls the families or sends them special packets consisting of books on loss, a music CD, a notebook of inspirational messages, and more. She gets 50 emails a day from people requesting one of her packets, paid for by Rosemary. The packets have been sent all over the world." You see, mothers of faith are women of promise, women of prayer, and powerful. Imagine how many lives that Rosemary is affecting by a new ministry that is born out of her grief. Is she grieving her sons? I'm sure. But she has, in the power of the Lord Jesus, moved with her grief to touch other lives. Amen. We're going to go to the table of the Lord this morning as we conclude this service. If you have your cups, you may want to spend an hour or so getting them open. Before you have lunch, you need to have some styrofoam. If we could this morning, I would like for all of our moms, I'm not going to call you all up here across the front, but what I would like for you to do, if you would, if you moms, women, all of you, if you would come and stand in the aisles going back through here, all around the outside aisles, the middle aisle. Moms, if you would, just move out into the aisles. Praise you, Lord. I believe I can speak for every man, every child in this room. Moms, we need you. We need you. We need you to be listening to the Lord for his promises. Sometimes we can't see. We need for you to hear and hold that promise before us as your family. We need for you to be praying. We need your prayers. I exist on my mom's prayers, and I'm sure my wife's prayers. And you do have power. Power of persuasion. Power to see the moving of God in lives. Don't let the enemy discount that. You know, as we hold these elements in our hand, I want you to understand this morning, as moms, as women, this bread and this cup are the greatest liberators that women have ever known. There is no religion on the face of this earth that has done more to lift women than Christianity. When Jesus said, "I have come to set you free," you see, it's not just from sin. It's from the bondages also that have been created by our social structures. Now, you can trust the government for freedom, or you can trust what Jesus has done for us. He paid everything so that you could be liberated, so that you could be powerful in his name. I think about some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You hear me? It's not going to be a bill that is passed by Congress that brings you your greatest freedom. It will be what these represent. You'll find it in Jesus. Think of it. You can go beyond the known, beyond the understood. The Lord, your God, wants to take you there because of the sacrifice of Jesus. He wants to make you powerful in this world, that your words, as the scripture says, do not fall to the ground. Oh yeah, people may not understand. They may even kind of make fun of you as you say something, but your words will ring out in them in the midnight hour. God makes it so. Even after your journey is ended, your words will still prevail. A woman who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you this morning as we take these elements, because I believe that the Lord wants you powerful women to leave a mark on our city, on our town, on this church, on our lives. Stop believing the words of the enemy that he speaks into you, that you don't have worth. He knows it's a lie. Don't believe the lie. Believe the truth. I just gave you a little piece this morning. We could go chapter by chapter all through this and reaffirm each one of these things. God wants to use you mightily. Remember, it's here in his broken body and his shed blood that all the power, all the presence, all the promises come. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for these women. With spirit eyes, I can see, God, what you're wanting to do. It takes my breath away. I pray, Lord, against the enemy who would lessen the worth of these, your women, your choice mothers. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would drive home the truth, that you're just waiting to give promise to these women. You're ready for them to bow their knee and spend time with you. And there's power. Promised power. That they will have over their life, over their family, over this world that is second to none. I pray, God, for your anointing to rest upon these women. As the power of your broken body and your shed blood is made real in their lives, use them, God. Use them as never before. Whether they're young or old matters not, you can use them. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the full measure of your anointing would be upon them. In Jesus' name. Men, if you would stand, please, and let us all take the bread, which was broken by our Lord, and he said, take, eat. This is my body that is broken for you. Let us take the bread this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And Lord, as we take this cup, all of us here, lean in to the flow of your blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, that enables us to have everlasting life, that gives us boldness to stand against an enemy who would discourage us, distress us, and rob us. I pray that in this very day, that the power of your blood would be very real in each of our lives. And may we take our stand. In Jesus' name. As the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. Let us take the cup this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Could we for a moment just fill this house with our praise? Lift up your voices. Lift up your hearts and hands. Lord, we love you. We thank you this morning that you make a difference in our lives. You and you alone can do in us and through us what no one else can do. We worship you. We praise you on this Mother's Day. And as we send our moms out into the world,
God, we pray that you would use them mightily. Use them in our homes. Use them, O God, in our lives. Speak to them your promises to them that stabilize everything, Lord. As they pray, hear their prayers. And may heaven and earth be moved. And many souls come into your kingdom because of their witness and persuasion. Go with us now. May we have a grand day as we celebrate with families. In Jesus' name, amen.